What is up, Daddy Gang? It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy.
Hello?
Oh my God.
I feel like I know you.
I know.
I've been so excited to meet you.
This is
going to be so good. Do you need anything?
Crazy.
No, I've literally helped myself to like free Prosecco from the...
Wait, what?
I know there was... I don't even know.
Guys, I didn't get offered any. What the...
It was in a fridge. I just took it.
You're like, let's go.
Welcome to London, babe.
Oh my God. I'm so happy to be here.
What are we at with swearing for this pod?
You fucking little dirty cunt. I'm going to slide a dildo up your butt. You can say whatever the fuck you want.
But I wondered, like, are we going to make drinks or whatever?
Because I know. No one offered me a drink. So I was like, I think...
Guys, can we get Alex and Prosecco?
So apparently Olivia's been drinking without me.
I found it in a fridge. It was up. I might have paid someone to go to the corner shop. It's upstairs in the fridge. There was four bottles and I just took a tumbler.
Okay, ready?
Yeah, ready.
Olivia Atwood, welcome to Call Her Daddy.
Like, that sentence just gave me chills, by the way. Like, I've got goosebumps.
Wait, I love it so much. I'm so happy to be here in your presence.
Really?
Yes. Okay, I'm going to give you backstory because I'm going to lube you up here. Okay.
Okay.
Pandemic. I'm sitting in my New York City apartment. I am so bored, as we all are. And I'm like, I need to find a TV show that I can like go and binge. Like, I need to be here for days on end. And I find Love Island. And I put on my social media and I'm like, what season do I start? Obviously, UK. And everyone is like, you have to watch 3 or 5. You have to watch 3 or 5. And so naturally, I'm like, I'm starting with 3. I click on 3. Mm-hmm. Your beautiful face pops up. And the entire season, I was obsessed. You were so incredible. I was like, I need to interview this girl. And I thought this like... over a year and a half ago to 2 years ago. So naturally, I flew 5,000 miles so I could sit down with you and interview Olivia Atwood.
Woo! This is crazy. This is crazy to me. Like, I've been a fan of the podcast forever.
Stop.
Like, I swear to God, the Instagram, everything.
Oh,
it's
just,
it's wild. Heart. Daddy Gang, be nice to me.
Are you kidding me? They are going to be so nice to you. I've actually had people... wanting you to come on the show for so freaking long. And I had reached out to your team and I think we had originally been like, we can just do a Zoom.
I remember
like,
this bit, yeah.
I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm not doing a Zoom with Olivia Atwood.
I hate Zoom as well. No. It's just not the same.
Like, we can't drink Prosecco.
I can't fucking
This episode is presented by Sparkling Ice. Turn up summer with Sparkling Ice. They have over 17 anything but subtle flavors, all made with zero sugar and packed with vitamins and antioxidants. Iced tea and lemonade, strawberry watermelon, tropical punch, peach nectarine. Yum. Crank up the flavor. Sparkling Ice, anything but subtle. This episode is brought to you by eBay. You know real when you get it, right, Daddy Gang? It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. So ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Tap the banner to learn more. This episode is brought to you by new Garnier Fructis hair filler with vitamin C, G. Many things can damage your hair, like heat styling and bleaching, but the all new Garnier Fructis hair filler systems can reverse up to 1 year of damage to your hair smoothness in just one use, giving you up to 79% stronger hair and up to 4 times less breakage. And all Garnier products are approved by Cruelty Free International under the Leaping Bunny program. New Garnier Fructis hair filler, pre-shampoo, shampoo, conditioner, and serum are available now on Amazon and at Walmart, Target, Ulta, Drug, and select grocery stores. Learn more at GarnierUSA.com. Let's go back a little bit.
Okay,
because everyone knows you from Love Island. Mm-hmm. and you were incredible on it. But before Love Island, young Olivia, not that young, but like, you know, not, I'm not saying she's like 10 years old doing this, but you were like so creepy. You were a grid girl.
Yeah.
Can you explain what is a grid girl? What was your job? What were you doing?
I was a model, but doing grid girl and promotion stuff to like fill the gaps, you know. And I was at this thing we have in the UK called like the Touring Car Championships. It's like pretty low key, whatever. It was there. It was a miserable fucking day. It was like the north of England. And I was like, what am I actually doing? Like standing here with this sad little flag. And then the Monster Girls were there with another team. And one of the girls approached me and she was like, would you, you know, want to work with us? But you, when you work with Monster, you can only do like Monster. You can't do like a bit of this, bit of that. So I said, yeah. And then, yeah, I started like a week after. And I did that solidly for like, oh God, like 4 or 5 years. I was like a Monster girl. So it's everything. It's like all sporting events, like ski, skate, like track, cars, motorbikes. It's crazy.
Obviously, it's a bunch of hot girls and you're hanging out. And naturally, I can only imagine like the parties and the vibes. What is one of the wildest nights out you remember having during that time of your life?
They were always wild. Like it was, you know, the amount of times I turned up with on no sleep. Like, I mean, I was just a different animal back then. Like I couldn't do it now. Like I'd be in a fetal position, like rocking, crying. Like I could go out all night and then still look hot the next day. It was like, you know, what it's like to be that age. It's just the dream. But people always say to me, oh, the riders, the drivers. But you know, like the thing was like Formula One drivers, MotoGP, they don't drink. Like really, they don't. They're like, they are like quite a weird breed. Like they're not super social. It's a very like, you know, isolated sport. So they don't really get involved in like, you know, partying and stuff. So it was more like I'd end up like with the mechanics, like I didn't give a shit. If he was down to like drink with me and get messy, I was all about it. Like I didn't care if you were changing tires earlier and you still got grease on your hands. If you want to go and like, we'll pound a bottle of Jaeger, let's do it. Like I had no prejudice. I didn't give a shit.
I love that for you so much. Also, I was thinking about it because I've dated athletes before. I know you're engaged to one. And so I'm thinking like, I forgot that concept. Like when you're younger, you want to go for these athletes. But it's almost like wait till you're like a little bit older because 100%. They don't fucking party.
No. And they're so like obviously dedicated to what they're doing and focused and nothing is going to like.
Oh, just disgusting.
Oh my God, imagine having dedication and, you know, self-control.
Olivia and I are like, it's so annoying so that gross. They won't party with us. Like I don't comprehend it. I want to get a vibe, Olivia, of like, how would you describe your dating life before Love Island?
Give it to us.
So I had a long-term relationship with just this, this piece of shit. But I was with him for like 4 or 5 years. It was like my first real thing. And I was doing modeling and I was very obsessed with this relationship. And I almost, you know, my modeling agency was so done with me because I would flake on things because I just wanted to be with him all the time. Like I didn't even care to have my own money. I had no drive. It was a really good lesson for me. I'm so glad I had that kind of relationship at that young age because it taught me everything that I needed to know. Do you know what I mean? Like to have your own money, to have your own independence. I just was obsessed and I was flaking on jobs. He used to do this thing where he'd break up with me like on the Friday and be like, oh, I'm going, whatever. Like, you know, I'd be all anxious and like I'd be a mess. And then on Monday he'd come back and be like, oh no, like let's work it out. He just picked me up and dropped me all the time. So when like Monster actually gave me like a lifeline that at that time that I needed, it's weird. Everything in my life, I feel like with Love Island, Monster, it's like the universe has like thrown me this like life vest. Like at that time, it's like, because doing Monster at first, when I realized how much travel it was, I was a bit like, I don't want to like travel and be away from him because I was like obsessed for some reason. And it's like doing that and seeing the world and meeting new people opened my eyes to like, oh my God, there's this like massive world out there and you've made your world so freaking small. Like for what reason? So it kind of opened my eyes to how dire the situation I was in was. And then that broke down like for a good reason. But then following that, my dating was like pretty erratic. Like I just used to like, you know, go from one guy to the next. I jump in really feet first. Like I am all about that. I want them to be obsessed with me. I want to be obsessed with them. I want to get tattoos on the second day. I want them to move in. Like, they could come to the second date with my name tattooed on their head and I'd be like,
I'm wet.
Yeah, I'm literally, do you want to go upstairs? My friends are like, that's insane. I'm like, I love him. Like, yeah, so I love that that obsessive being in love. So I was always, you know, going kind of one to the next, chasing that feeling.
Sometimes you have to go through those relationships. 100%. Right? I don't know anyone that hasn't had that one obsessive relationship that borders unhealthy.
Yeah.
And it takes you having distance and space from someone to then be like, oh my God. And it may literally be like you going away for your job a bunch. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, this shit is not healthy. Whether you're like viewing your friends or the people around you, and you all of a sudden are like, okay, I need to like look at this differently.
At one point, I don't even think I had like my own debit cards. It was ridiculous. Like I literally, like when I say pulled the rug from under my feet every time he like left me, I was like, you know, I was underweight and I was crying and I was just, it was so unhealthy. And I just, it just, learning that at that age, like, you know, my late teens, early 20s was like, I think a really important lesson to learn. It just, I remember how I felt and I thought, I'm never going to let myself be in that situation again. Yeah, if Brad walked out tomorrow, it would hurt. Like, I wouldn't get over it in a day, but I could still get in my car that I own, drive somewhere, get my own house. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm good.
Yes.
Like, I'd be heartbroken, but I'm good. I'm not going to be on my knees like I was with that situation.
I've been in one of those too, and I think it's like, wait, if he left tomorrow, what happens? Like, am I okay? Like, again, heartbroken is different than like, wait, I literally have nowhere to live, no money, no friends. My family is gone because I distanced myself. Like, checking those moments, I think
I was like
good.
Distanced from everyone, like friends, family, like completely isolated. Like, so yeah, Monster was like, you know, it threw me a lifeline. And I had the best, I traveled the world. This is my thing that I say is like, you know, people get on about grid girls or like, you know, ring girls and this anti-feminism. Like, who, like, we've had men telling us what to do. Now we've got other women telling us what to do. If you feel empowered doing something and you're safe and you're in an environment like Monster is a safe, you know, is a very safe gig for me, who's anyone else to tell me what that empowered me, changed my life. It threw me a lifeline, you know?
That is amazing.
But at the same time, you know, I did it for 4 or 5 years and, you know, I got to the end of my thing with it. You know, when you're working for a brand like that, there's not much individuality. Like, you know, you have to have your hair a certain way, your nails a certain way, you do this, that, the other. And towards the end, because I felt like I was outgrowing it a little bit, I started pushing the boundaries, like burning some bridges, you know, just like acting up because I started to be like, no, I'm going to come with red nails, like just for the fucking hell of it.
Right. That's actually really cool though for you to like hear about the whole concept of how Monster helped you, because I agree. I feel like so many people are so quick, especially with whatever women are doing. If anything has to do with your looks, they're like, it's degrading. You're not empowering yourself. And it's like, hold on. Like, why don't you ask me how I feel first?
Thank you. And I feel like what the thing is, it's without this, how do I say this without it coming off really bad? Obviously, I, you know, think of myself as somewhat intelligent, but some girls, they just do want to do their fucking hair and look pretty, and that's might be their thing in life. And why can you tell them that that's not good enough or that's not empowering? Like, what, you know, I'm not telling the girls at NASA, well, you can't work there because I'm not clever enough to work there. Like, let people do their thing.
Yeah.
Like,
thank you for sharing that.
You're so welcome.
Love Island. Okay, so we're gonna go through a little bit of that.
Okay.
For people that don't know, also, I just want you to know, I only watch Love Island UK. I think it's entertaining. I haven't watched the Australia one, have you?
I dipped in a little bit, but not like properly.
Is it as good? I don't think anything's as good as UK. It's not. It's just not. Okay, so for anyone who has never seen Love Island, how do you describe like the concept of the show?
Oh. It's like good-looking girls and guys on an island dating. It's a game show. There's money at the end. But essentially, it's like you get coupled up and you have challenges thrown at you. And it's a test. It's, you know, who can find a real connection, a connection real enough to take you to the final and maybe win that money. Although it's weird with Love Island, like, when you're in there, no one really gives a shit about the money. It's the kind of like, you don't even need the money at the end. The money is just like a thing. But no one focuses on that in a weird way.
I love that, though, because I was thinking about it. I feel like Love Island is so much more accepted and loved than consider, like, The Bachelor. It's, like, it's not realistic that after 6 weeks, you're going to get married. Like, I love how Love Island is, like, are we going to hit it off and are we going to leave here together as a couple? Like, that's so much more realistic. And obviously being in a house together and there's alcohol and there's nothing else to do other than
alcohol is like 2 glasses.
No, but it is kind of, wait, would they limit you?
Are you joking?
Wait.
Are you joking?
Wait,
why don't I know this?
Two glasses on my series, okay? I can't speak about my series. Okay. We were all like balls to the wall crazy, so we might have been limited more than others, but we had two glasses of wine a night or beer.
That's shocking because I didn't realize none of you were hammered.
So all that stuff I'm doing, I'm basically sober. I'm just
insane. Like, she must be hammered when the fight scene happens.
No, I didn't even have my drink yet. And then I went outside and the producer said, "You're not getting anything tonight." I was like, "Oh, you're joking." I was like, honestly, I swear, I was sober.
That makes it 10 times better.
Can you imagine if we were liquored up? It'd be like Fight Club.
No, it actually would have been probably like not even arable because it would have gotten so wild.
So the reason is, they said, because I questioned them every day, it's the point where they're like, if you ask about it again, you're going to get a written warning, is what I was told in the beach hut. Because I argued it every day, is that the show is, because it's about dating, about love, they don't want people doing stuff, you know, driven by alcohol, and the next day waking up being like, oh, I don't actually like him, I only snogged him because I was drunk, because it's not that kind of show, it wouldn't make sense. They want people kissing and being in bed together because it's they want to, not because they're drunk.
Right, which is so different, I feel like, than real life, though, because let's be real.
I mean, I've gone from living on my own since I was like 21 to, you know, doing what I want to being told, like, you know, you got two glasses of, it was real hard for my head, like, to deal with.
Oh, but, yeah. I feel like I would feel that way too. Okay, so that's a really good insider info I did not know. So when you got there, in your mind and your experience, like, what was the atmosphere and energy on that set?
Series 3 was the one that like blew up, right? So we had series 1 and 2 in the UK that were popular. So I was meant to go on series 2. This is like the tea.
Wait,
right,
give us how you were cast. Okay. Like, tell me the tea.
So it's really like an eye rolling kind of like nauseating way, but I was approached on Instagram. They DM'd me. So series 2, they DM'd me. I'd only watched little bits of series 1. It was popular, but really like no one was really talking about it. Mm. I was doing the monster thing. I'd started a thing off with this guy. He was like a rider, whatever, like motocross thing. And I was all about him. We'd done the tattoos and stuff after the second date. It was sweet. And then
actually did that.
Yeah, I've got it still now. It's like a bit faded. But yeah, we did the
Is
whole...
Brad like, can we get rid of that?
He's the most leg back guy. He's practically horizontal. Like he's got like the BDE. Like, you know, is that what Kim says? Like he's got that big dick energy. He couldn't give a shit. Like he's, yeah.
What is the tattoo of?
It's just his initial. Yeah, I did it like this 2 weeks into
Would
dating.
You care if Brad had that?
I don't think so.
Really?
No. I don't know. I would have cut it out of him sleep.
You're like, no, I wouldn't care. I would have just sliced it off during his time sleeping. Like,
he
what?
Wakes up. What are you doing? Nothing.
Also, for everyone listening, Brad is Olivia's fiance.
Yeah, that's my
long-suffering
fiance.
You meet this guy, you get tattooed second date.
Yeah, we're all into it. They approached me. They were like, you know, so I went and I didn't, we were just dating. So I was like, you know, I'll see it through, went to meet, like, interviews, whatever. Then they offered me on. I was all, like, I was basically carrying it on as if I was going to do it. And then it got to, like, literally I'm leaving in, like, 2 weeks. And I was like, oh, I don't know, like, I've got a really good thing going. I like this guy a lot. This show, is it a bit like, you know, I've seen all the kind of the promo images with the colourful backgrounds and it was, no one had really thought it was cool yet.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm doing something that I think is quite cool. And I'm with this guy. So anyway, I just ghosted. I just blocked everyone from basically ITV.
And were they like, hello?
Yeah, they were like calling. And so I just panicked, blocked everyone. I was like, it's going to carry on my life. And then basically I was with him for a good like 9 months or something. Anyway, he cheats on me, sleeps with this girl. I go like...
How'd you find out?
I had like a, you know, just like a sixth sense. Mm-hmm. I can't remember now the exact...
You just knew in your gut.
I just knew. And I just, I honestly, I've mellowed so much. I just went like... I was quite crazy.
Wait, what did you do? You have to tell someone, call her daddy, Olivia.
Like, well. I was just like writing on my Instagram like wild stuff, like ugly pictures of him, like look at this piece of shit that cheated on me. I was just like stuff that it's a shame because I could never do that now because people would be like, oh, like you can't, you know. I just really enjoyed being like a nobody, you know, like I could just say what I wanted. Like, I was calling up his work nonstop. I was just insane. I was just literally, my mum, we were shopping in London when I found out. My mum's like wrestling me like in selfies, just trying to get the phone out of my hand because I'm doing so much damage. She's like, you need to stop. I'm like, I can't. And she's like, it's all for the better. I'm like, no, it's not. I'm like, I can't believe he's done this to me.
No, I get that feeling though. You're like, he needs to feel a little bit of the hurt that I felt. And so I get that.
Yeah, okay. I just went, I reindulged myself. I treated myself to a proper meltdown.
Absolutely.
Like I really did. I was like smashed at 4 p.m. rolling around London, just like ringing up his work, just fucking crazy.
I love that.
Rang
video.
His mom.
That's a good one.
Just everything. I'm like, your son's a piece of shit. And she's like, oh.
Good luck with life.
And then I saw this advert. I swear, again, it's like a whole universe moment. I saw this advert, like, casting for Love Island. It was on, like, a bus stop or something to, like, season three. And I thought, oh, I should have done that last year. So I go on my phone. I find these people from Love Island. I unblock a couple of them. I just ring them up, don't I? I just rang them up. Shout out to Lewis. He took the call. I was like, hi. I was like, do you remember me? And he was like, yes, you're the girl that disappeared. Like, and I was like, well, I was like, I would love to have a chance to go on the show. Like, can't even keep a straight face saying it. And he was like, I don't know what the execs are going to say. They're probably going to tell you to, like, take a running jump. He's like, but I will speak to them. It's quite late in the day for, like, see, I, you know, they think they'd already cast most people. Mm. I just hung up. I just then got all my feelings. Like, what am I doing? I don't want to do Monster anymore. Like, this guy is a loser. And anyway, he called me back, like, the next day. And he's like, you can come on if you leave in 2 weeks. So, literally, that was it. I went, like, on a mad, like, Zara haul. Like, other brands are available. And just got all the bikinis, dresses. And, like, 2 weeks later, I was gone.
So, once you got there and you were hanging, what was, do you think, the biggest key to success on Love Island?
So my thing going into it, and I, you know, I'm really open about this. When I had nervous feelings about going in, I thought the worst thing you can do on these kind of shows, I think, is go in, be booted out in week one, and no one even remembers you were there. Like, what was the point? Like, I've left Monster. They're not going to have me back. I've burnt all those bridges. I've left my modelling agency. I've, you know, screwed off the guy that I was seeing. Like, I felt like, if I'm going to do this, I have to do this properly. And I'm going to make sure everyone knows that I'm in the building. Like, that was my main thing. And I really, you know, I just thought, I thought to myself, when I get in there, I'm going to forget those cameras. I'm just going to do it how I would live life. But it's crazy. Like, I know everyone says it, but, like, after, like, 24 hours, you really forget. Like, you really forget you're, really? Like, being watched. Oh, my God. Like, you know, there were certain members in that villa who maybe were slightly more canny and were, you know, more self-aware. Mm. I've always been unself-aware. I'd like to say, like, if you put me in now, I know that they get how many billions of viewers a night, that I would behave a different way. I probably wouldn't, because I can't. I cannot be anything but a hot mess.
I always talk about on my show, like, guys, self-awareness is so key. And Olivia's walking in and be like, I am so unself-aware. Oh. Can you give us examples of what you mean by that? Because you don't seem, I get what you're saying of, like, the hot mess. You look great put together right now. You're speaking eloquently. But what do you mean by you're unself-aware?
Just, I, you know, I hate this expression, but, you know, like, wear your heart on your sleeve. I'm very, like, if I feel something or I don't like something, or I don't like someone, I can't help but kind of, either my face says it or my mouth says it. One of them is going to say it. Like, I can't, you know, I can't be a wallflower despite trying at times.
Trying,
it's like
really
verbal
hard.
Diarrhea. I feel like I'm literally, like, chewing my lips and it's, I just can't.
Did you get in trouble for that a lot when you were younger?
Oh, like, oh my God. My mum used to say to me, like, what is this? I'm ADHD, which I know now, which explains a lot. But at school, I used to do the weirdest shit and then get in so much trouble. And then I'd cry on the way home. My mum would be like, well, why did you do that? And I'd be like, I don't know. I literally don't know.
Okay, well, it made for really great reality TV. Okay, so wrapping up Love Island, when you look back, what did you learn about yourself during or after filming that entire experience?
If I watch her now, like, you know, I watch myself on Love Island, I was quite angry. You know, I was, you know, my back was up.
Yeah.
Like, I was looking for an argument all the time. I think I've mellowed. And I think it's not, there's nothing I would have done differently, because that's who I was at that time. And hindsight and age, I'm a lot more relaxed now. I wouldn't get wound up about those kind of things. But that's who I was then. And also, it's like, everything that has happened in my life is as a result. If I'd gone in there, like, you know, medicated in the corner, like, not talking, then I wouldn't be sitting here
totally
with you now. So
I think that's such a good answer, because I relate to that, where, like, I started my show and I was 10 times crazier, saying shit that probably, like, maybe wasn't at the now I look back, I'm like, I would never fucking say that now. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if I would say that about a guy or a girl now, but I think it's, like, that's growth, right?
100%.
And people are like, no, like, you can't change. I'm not saying I changed. I just grown. And
yeah.
I have a different outlook on, like, the way I was when I was younger. And there's different reasons why you did what you did on that show. And if you went in there, you'd still be loud and rowdy, but you wouldn't maybe come off, like, in certain ways like you did in the past.
100%.
Because you don't have that, like, baggage of those men fucking you over like you did when you were going in.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Some things work so well. It's basically magic. Like my favorite highlighters that I'm like, wow, how did you all of a sudden make me look glowing? And you know what else really works, Dottie Gang? Shopify. It is a global commerce platform that helps you sell. I've seen a big difference in my online merch sales. They are especially good at turning browsers into buyers. I can see someone that's been on the site but didn't check out, or someone that checked out and then is revisiting the site. Like, if you want to grow your business, Dottie Gang, sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/unwell, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/unwell.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Congratulations of the new docuseries Getting Filthy Rich.
Yeah.
First of all, I just have to ask you, like, how does that even feel?
This like, is huge. I'm already having massive imposter syndrome even being here with you, but that's just tipped me over the edge. I now feel like I'm sitting in someone else's body.
No, own it, because you're a boss. Like, it's incredible. So I want to just explain, I got an advanced copy of the first episode. And so to anyone listening, this show follows Olivia on her journey as she participates in various ways people use their body to make money on the internet. In the episode I saw, mm-hmm. Olivia dives into the world of OnlyFans. She creates a profile and interviews a number of content creators to see what really goes on behind the scenes with people making money on OnlyFans. Okay.
I have to check myself. Like, I'm
let's check ourselves. Like, how do we look? Okay. Had you ever considered doing OnlyFans prior to creating the series?
Not in a serious way. I think I'd thought about it because I had heard this thing people kept saying to me, oh, you should make, there's photos that you pose, you could make loads of money on OnlyFans. Kept hearing that again and again and again. So I was intrigued thinking, is it as easy as that?
Right.
So that was more, I think, you know, I think take me back pre-Love Island, like, you know, grid girl Olivia, she probably would have done OnlyFans. Right. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But me right now where I was more just intrigued. Is it as simple as right. It sounds? It sounds way too good to be true.
Totally. Is OnlyFans what started it for you, or like what, how did the show come about for you?
I think we were, you know, I was really looking to get into like docuseries world. Mm-hmm. Obviously being from reality TV, like you can be obviously put in a box, and I'm happy with that box. I actually love reality TV, and I've got no like desire to be like, it's the worst thing and get me out of that box. But I was interested. I feel like, you know, on a good day when I'm sober, I've got a quite decent brain. I can articulate myself like to a certain degree. So I thought I definitely have more springs to the table. So yeah, we were talking with different networks, different ideas. And when this one came up, I thought that's a really good fit. And I'm genuinely fascinated. So it's going to be like, you know, exploring that area is going to be a genuine interest.
Absolutely. And I feel like I know I only saw the first episode, but like it translates. Like I was talking about it with my team and we were like, this is exactly what you were meant to do in terms of like, I don't know many people that could have handled it as gracefully and respectfully, but also made it so fun as you, because it is like a sensitive topic and mm-hmm. definitely another woman needs to be in that room, mm-hmm. but also someone that's like willing to see both sides and be a part of the experience. I thought it was really cool. So you get on OnlyFans in episode one. What was the most difficult aspect of being on OnlyFans?
The 24-hour aspect of it, like I really thought it was something where the way it was sold to me, you know, from people I spoke to, was you make the profile, you stick the pictures on, and the money just comes in. That's not how you make money. The money's made in the DMs, like the constant communication. It's like the girls that are making the big money, they are on the site 24 hours a day. Like yep. you know, talking to these people, respond. And when you don't respond, because they've paid to be on your page, they just hound you, like, question mark, like, you know, like, where are you? Like, you know, I was, like, quite taken back by that at first.
I was also because, again, I think that's why I loved how you're peeling this layer back of, like, everyone listening, if you don't have OnlyFans, we all kind of have this idea in our head, right? Of, like, you're right, the girl has the profile, she posts some photos, she gets money. Mm-hmm. And in this episode, it was so fascinating, and everyone needs to go watch it because it really gives this inside look of how hard these women are working. Like, when you were like, wait, so what would happen if a guy is going to pay you like $1,000 to sext him and you're out? And she was like, I would go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, shit. Like,
yeah.
It never stops. No. And I could see you were kind of like, wait, this is giving me anxiety having this many messages on my phone and these people kind of thinking they have like a claim over me of like, hi, mm-hmm. like you owe me something.
Yeah.
Did you feel empowered while on OnlyFans?
I don't think I did because I had the account, obviously, for documentary purposes. Mm-hmm. So it was my own, but I also, I couldn't take, like, ownership over it. Because, you know, because I was trying to find that line of, like, you know, I'm using it and I'm seeing how it works to do, you know, justice to this show. But also, it's not mine mm-hmm. in the sense where I'm going to engage in, like, you know, I'm not going to send nudes out because they'd be out there forever. So it was hard for me to, you know, land in a place where it felt like I was in control, I guess, because, you know, these people subscribe, they want nudity. They want, like, they don't want bikini pictures. Like, that's the biggest myth, I think. You know, I think if you're already famous, whatever, you could monetize your bikini underwear pictures for a certain amount of time, a limited amount of time, and then you're going to have to do more, or it's just going to die out, or you're going to be earning not enough to, like, live off.
I think that's also insightful, because I feel like I've heard a lot of people, like, oh, I'm just going to post some of, like, my bikini photos on there. And no one really talks about how it lasts for 2 seconds and then people get annoyed. It's like, we'll take your top off, blah, blah, blah. And there's a lot of, it feels like pressure mm-hmm. on the site that I don't think a lot of women are prepared for.
100%. I think, and it, you know, the temptation is like, it's crazy. Like, you know, the DMs start coming through like, you know, 500 quid for a picture of your nipples. And it's like, if you were in a situation where you need 500 quid, like, how easy would it be just to, and I think there's a disconnect, isn't there, between doing something in real life and doing it with your phone, yeah. where like you could just do it and send it and there's the money, but then it's like it's gone and you can never bring it back.
That
and
is,
I think, for, and I you know, I, it sounds like I say that with judgment, because I have, I, you know, you can see what, I have no judgment, but I think the danger is that I think for some girls it's absolutely great and they kill it, and that, you know, every downside of it, like the preconceived notions that, like, you know, they're a whore or they're promiscuous, they it's water for ducks back. But for a lot of girls, they can't, like, and yeah. they find themselves in these, on this site, and they weren't expecting the pressure, and they maybe succumb to pressure that they weren't going to, you know, they go in there saying, I'm going to do X, Y, Z, and they end up doing more, and then, you know, that feeling of regret and shame. And I yeah. think that's sad, you know?
Totally. I felt like in the episode, you did a really good job of meeting with, like, a multitude of people, showing the difference. Like, there were some people in this episode that had such a niche, like, way about going about it, like, whether it was the fitness woman that yeah. was doing fitness and then sometimes naked while doing fitness. And it's mm-hmm. like, she kind of had her angle mm-hmm. and she felt, I think it appeared, empowered because she was doing something she loves, which is working out, and then just monetizing the hell out of it. Then there were some other girls that were kind of like, I started and I just kind of started, like, with just underwear pictures. And then yeah. and then it starts where, what is the boundary? And mm-hmm. they've crossed it for themselves. And then I'm sure it feels like there's no going back.
Yeah.
Did you feel like when you were around all these women, did you feel like they appeared to be empowered by what they were doing?
I think it was a mix, to be honest. I think some very much yes, and some not so much. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I always, it's my thing where I went back to talking about the grid girl thing. It's like the whole feminist argument. It's like, who is anyone else to say what empowers someone? If someone's telling me this makes me feel as an empowered woman, more power to you. Like,
totally.
Get it. Like,
totally.
100%. But I think there was some that I met with, and definitely over the other films, like, you know, the porn episode and Sugar Babies. Again, we you know, I meet both sides. I meet people that I can see are really struggling mm-hmm. with that lifestyle choice and others that are thriving.
Yeah.
So I think it's just, it's not for everyone. And
totally.
the thing that was going into it and the whole, you know, it's like a cheeky title, like How to Get Filthy Rich. But the idea was to see, like, is it actually that easy? Because we all do it. I do that thing where I'm like, or I'm doing something, I'm like, oh, I'm just going to quit and do OnlyFans and do something easy. Like, and then you realize, like, oh shit, like, right. It's not easy. Like,
which I think is great, especially for women, that this show is coming out, because I do think it's going to put a stop to that comment, because I so agree with you. People are like, oh, fuck this. I'm going to quit my day job and go do OnlyFans. And it's like, I don't think people understand the gravity of that comment because of how much not only goes into it actually physically, but also mentally seeing these women. There's just like a lot behind it that I think you did a great job of capturing.
It's, for me, it's like every job, right, you do in the world has like this added tax, right? So if you're, you know, what I do, I'm showing every part of my life has a tax. You know, Instagram has an emotional tax. It makes you feel, sometimes I feel judged, I feel stressed. Or if you work in the city and you're there like, you know, 6 days a week, 10 o'clock at night, you don't see your kids, that's a tax. So does this. Like, this is not, does not come without the downside, you know? Like, the judgment. And I think, you know, these sites and, you know, you're seeing in Cam Girls episode as well, it's like, it is a hiding place for men as well to, like, express some pretty weird shit. Like, and these girls have to read this stuff, hear this stuff, with no one to really help them, like, break down the terrible things they're either said to them or they asked them to do.
Right.
And some of the things that I heard were just absolutely like shocking. Like, you know, the fact that they have to read these messages and then just get on with their day. And how does that then affect their relationship with, you know, other straight men in their lives?
Right.
Because what I think is so interesting about this whole online sexual economy debate, we're all so focused on the girls, like the girls who are doing OnlyFans, like, oh my God, they're the worst. But it's our dads, brothers, colleagues who are buying the shit. No one's worried about them. They're the ones asking for them to do X, Y, stick this up your ass. They're not like these mythical creatures that come up from the sewers. They are the men in our lives.
I love how you're saying that. As much as it may pain people, you're right. It's like,
it's true.
It's your dad. It's your brother. Because the man doing it is someone's son, is someone's dad, is someone's husband. You know what I mean?
But we don't have a problem with them. We have a problem with the girls providing the content. But we're talking about millions of pounds a year. This isn't like a niche. This is like the majority of men, not all. The majority.
It's really interesting. Talking about cam girls, I was interested because I obviously haven't seen the episode, but can you explain what a cam girl is and how it's different from participating on OnlyFans?
So for me, when we were sitting down going to make the show and we talked about what the different episodes would be, I was like, cam girls, I think, I don't know if you have it in the States, like Babe Station, you know, the TV, you know, the channel where they've got the phone. And I was like, is that even a thing anymore? It felt very 90s.
That's
like,
what I thought.
It's the kind of thing that I would flick onto when I was younger on like the home telly and be like, oh my God. Like, so, but it turns out it's still like big money industry. And this is like, you know, I spent 24 hours at a studio where it's on the phones, but it's also on like webcam. So they kind of like, they log on and they pay to be on like the stream and the girl's there, and then they can call the phone, the girl will take the phone. So it's like they can either do it from their home or in the studio, but it's contained to like the site. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Did you find that most of those women have OnlyFans or no?
A lot, yeah. Not all, but most.
Okay.
Because it's just a no-brainer. But a lot of the girls who work in the site, they maybe have OnlyFans and they just like kind of dip their toe in it because they do the camming because they like the fact that they log on for like a camming shift for like 5-6 hours and then they go and they leave and it's done. Whereas like OnlyFans never leaves you alone. It's constantly, you know, it's on your phone.
That's,
you never
so
get a break.
So
they find like doing the camming or going to a studio and being a cam girl.
It's really like work.
And then literally like clock off, go home, and they've got kids and normal lives and husbands, and they just leave that, and then the next day they go back and they go back to work.
That makes sense, because the OnlyFans episode really, like, again, you guys have to go watch it because you feel how it's an every day, every minute of your life thing, where now I understand, because I'm like, why would a girl do cam girling if it's OnlyFans, you can do it from home? There is a boundary.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, which cam girls, obviously, we haven't seen the episode yet, but, like, the idea of it, like, who would make the most money? Like, what kind of version of camming?
In what sense? Like
are there different things that girls do that you can make like a different tier in camming?
I mean, it's insane. One thing across all episodes you'll see is like this, and I really want to sit down like with a clinical psychologist and pick this apart because there has to be a reason.
Yep.
This feet thing, right? Across every single episode, there's this undercurrent about feet. So the girls in the chemistry, the ones who are like great at the feet chat, who can like dangle the stiletto on their big toe, like do all the, they kill it. Because literally 6 out of 10 calls will be about feet.
What the fuck is up with men and feet?
I don't know, but I need to get to the bottom of it.
I do too. We should honestly call us. Like, I'm going to call my therapist right now and be like, hi,
there
what the fuck is up?
There has to be like some connection, something like Freudian nightmare, because this all the way through. Yeah.
Okay, you talk about sugar babies.
Mm-hmm.
What was the biggest misconception you had about sugar babies?
There is always an exchange maybe for sex for money.
Mm.
And I met girls, you know, and people might roll their eyes and be like, oh, bullshit. No, these girls are, like, honest with me. Like, there is arrangements where it's not sexual. It's just dinner.
Yep.
Like, or it's just company. Or it's some of them, it's not even in person. It's just talking. And he might, you know, pin them, like, 500 quid or whatever.
Right.
So I thought, who the hell is going to give someone money? Do you know what I mean? For nothing,
yeah.
Basically.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of people also, like, I had a friend that did it, and it was just to go to dinner and just to basically be his date. And I'm like, eventually, is it going to progress to sex? Eventually, they do kind of ask, I think. But, like, for a while, you can kind of stay in that gray zone, which, again, kind of reminds me of the OnlyFans thing, where, like, you can stay in this gray zone for a little bit of, like, I'm comfortable with this, and then someone's going to ask, and then you have to know, like, how to set that boundary for yourself.
100%. And I think one of the girls I've met, she, you know, she'd had this arrangement with a guy for, like, 3-4 years. You know, she'd never had sex with him, and she said it's all about your approach. Like, from day one, you set that. It's the way you approach the situation that you approach that guy, and you let him know that. And I think that's, you know, experience, age, everything comes into it. Same with OnlyFans. I think, you know, you have to be a very strong person to be like, this is my boundaries, and I'm not going to move. Whereas I think if you approached it and you're not really sure what your angle is, and it's easier for someone to maybe coerce you.
Totally.
Because you don't even know yourself. But I think...
What did you find is the hardest thing about being a sugar baby?
I think maybe just living in that limbo land. You know, it's like you don't have a boyfriend... but you're not single, and essentially they are the one handing out the money, so you have to kind of, you know, I guess, I mean, it depends how much money we're talking, you know, a lot of the girls, it's like it's hard for them to have a normal job and be a sugar baby because some of these guys want them with them all the time. And then, you know, I think some of the girls I spoke to, it's like, it's great if you've got a great thing going, but if he just like drops you like that, you can go from living this like unreal lifestyle. That's where it's like being smart, like, you know, getting the allowance, banking the money. Whereas, totally. Like, I think if you're younger and just like living life and spending, and then he's just like, oh, bye, you could be like, I can't afford my apartment, I can't afford my car. Like,
it's a very fine line of like thriving and succeeding and using the system and kind of like doing your thing with it. But you have to know, like,
100%.
This takes way more work than we give these women credit for.
Oh, like, they are straight up hustlers. Like, if you, the girls that do it right, it's like, it's an art form at the peak. Like, you know, like you say, it's like any relationship when you're young or like, you know, you're not thinking straight, you don't set your boundaries or your standards. So that means the standards and the, it's just all a mess. Like, so it's like anything. You have to go in and be like, this is what it is. This is what I want from you. This is what I'm going to give you.
It's like, we need someone to like, that's done this to like create a crash course, which I kind of think you're in a way, this is like the beginning of it, because by you peeling this layer back, it's giving people kind of that like introduction of what the world will be if you're interested in it. And I think for a while there hasn't been that. So women are just blindly going into it because they just have money on the mind, which I so get.
Yeah.
Who doesn't? But it's like there's no idea of like how far it's going to go and what's going to happen.
Because I think what I love about this show is that it's like an immersive documentary, but it has heart and it has humor, and we're not coming at it from an angle. Whereas I think other shows that have looked at these subjects are coming from like a slightly judgmental. Mm-hmm. It feels kind of like seedy. I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, dating someone for like financial gain or, you know, life experience or, you know, whatever it may be, for travel. Like, what the hell, you know, if you're two consenting adults, you're not hurting anyone, what does it matter?
Yep.
But I think, like you say, like young girls need to, and I think this is what this show is nice because it's very balanced. We're not glorifying anything. It's the girls are really honest. They're like, I make, you know, Bonnie, she's like, I'm making 250 grand a month, my best month, but it's a heavy load to carry. Like, mm-hmm. it's not just as easy as that, you know?
Totally. I know I haven't watched it yet and we're all going to see it, but you also experienced the Pornhub world.
Mm.
What was your approach for that episode? Were you nervous?
I was excited.
Oh, yes.
I was excited. I was like, I actually think I say in the beginning of episodes, like, I've only seen one penis for the last couple of years. I was like, let's see it. So I was excited to, like, see some willies and, like, just be amongst it. And also just as someone that's like, you know, everyone's watched porn, but to actually see how it's made.
Yeah, how was that? Like, what was that like?
Like, I mean, obviously, I went to an orgy one time. I'm, like, giggling because it's, you know, when it's right there in the flesh. But it's just, it's also different to how you imagine it to be.
I
learned, like, the cum shot, you know, like, on the thumbnails on the website. That's, like, Gaviscon. Do you have Gaviscon? It's
no.
like heartburn medication. They just throw it over the girl's face, not even semen.
Stop.
I swear, at the beginning of the shoot, they'll sit there and they pour, like, this heartburn medication or something, like, goopy, and they position it all perfectly. And they do all the photos. Yeah, because I was thinking, like, actually,
right.
when you think about it now, it makes sense. Because, like, who has, like, that much semen? And also, the positioning of it's always, like, perfect.
Perfect.
Then they wipe it all off. Then they do, like, then they'll do still shots. Then they'll plan out, like, you're going to be there doing doggy. It's just mental.
It's
like,
a full production.
Full production.
Which I think is nice to hear. And I'm glad that you're kind of, like, breaking down that wall again. Because I know when I was like, I'm going to get a facial from this guy's penis. And he's going to go all over my face. And I remember the first time it happened. It went right in my eye and I fully was like blackout, like couldn't see, like was just like fucked for the rest of the week. And I'm like, wait, why does it look like this on porn? Because it doesn't actually fucking happen.
That doesn't happen like that.
What, why are people, do you think, still shooting for porn sites if OnlyFans exists?
We had this kind of, that was like a question that went throughout mm-hmm. that film. And ultimately is that there is still a demand for high production value porn. Yeah. People still like it, you know?
Yeah.
OnlyFans, I think, is like you're impersonating intimacy. You know, it's that intimate thing, the back and forth, the messages, you know, giving someone that like personalized experience. Whereas porn is much more, you know, a fantasy. It's costumes. It might be in a style that someone, you know, like they do the sci-fi shit and whatever. Like, it's a different, it's a completely different thing, I
but
think.
Aren't women in porn not making as much?
Oh,
as...
sorry, you meant the actors.
No, that was actually helpful too, yeah.
So a lot of them are doing both
now.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is with the bigger porn stars, they might have like really big contracts with like a Brazzers or, you know, Digital Playground or something. And they're like on really good money. So it's, and I think, you know, some of them have like no OnlyFans policy. You know, if you have that contract.
Okay.
I know obviously that the money you can earn is a lot more in the States than it is in, you know, the UK in terms of porn and stuff. But yeah, the bigger porn stars, I think, they stick to their, like, it's like a trade, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's a skill. They've, you know, and they make really good money. So all they have to do is go and maybe shoot two films a week and get like the big check. Whereas what they'd have to do on OnlyFans to make the same would be way more laborious.
In your episodes and through your experience, like, did you find any women struggling with knowing if they wanted to stay in porn or not?
I met a girl who was, a girl, Alex, she'd done OnlyFans and she was wanting to move into porn. And she, to me, was someone who seemed really unsure. It filled me with a lot of anxiety after I met her, actually. And she went and she did like a hand job video, whatever, and she hated it. And then she realized it wasn't for her. And I was like, thank God that you did that and not something else, like, so you could make that decision. I spoke to, you know, the girls who are like regular porn stars, like Scarlett I spoke to, like a lot of the really professional shoots, they will have like a check sheet at the beginning. So they'll be like, they'll go through it, the stars. So it'll be like anal tech or strangling. She could be like, no, don't do strangling. And they X and tick everything that's like a yes or a no. And then that's like the print. Like, no one strays from that. She said, don't touch my arsehole so he can't, or vice, do you know what I mean?
That's okay,
but then
yeah.
She said she, you know, she'll go to shoots where like they don't do the checklist and it's just a bit of a free-for-all. So she, you know, there is, you know, I think there is risk involved. I think that's why OnlyFans as well is appealing to a lot of sex workers, because you know, it takes away that risk, doesn't it, of having to interact with other people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which episode was your favorite to create and why?
I'm gonna surprise everyone this, I think, but Cam Girls, I think, is my favorite episode. Purely just, it's a really hard one because it's like they love them all. It's like my babies. But Cam Girls, the girls I met were just, I really I don't know, I just connected with them. It was just so much heart, and they were so open with me. And it was such a diverse, like, kind of range of girls who, like, go to this studio, do this job, which is just so crazy to a lot of us. Like, right. You know, and then they go home and they're mothers or they've got other jobs. And it's just like, there's so much more than what people would pigeonhole them as. And I just loved it. I love being at the studio. Yeah. I love being with the girls.
What was the studio like? Just, like, are they in a room by themselves?
It's like this big studio, and it's like sectioned down all the way. It's open, right? And each booth is like different colours or different themes. And the girls are all in there on the phone and the webcam. And so when you're on an evening while it's in there, it's just a room of like sex noises, dirty talk, like all competing over each other. But they say like they can hear each other a bit.
But it's not that loud.
But to me, it was like, how can you even think straight? Because it's like, literally, I'm talking like, you know, like when you go to a photo shoot and they use those polystyrene.
Yes,
that's what's separating each thing. And
wow.
It was, my head when I left that night was like spinning. I was like, just listening to everything. The phone's ringing.
Right.
I answer the phones, this guy, and he's like panting down the phone. I was like, this is...
Did you talk to someone?
Yeah, I was like giving him all the chat, and then I just couldn't. And I froze.
Wait, give us a little preview. Give
I was like, hey, baby, are you horny? And then I don't know why I'm doing an American accent, but that's just what came out. I feel like if you're going to do a porn voice, it has to be American.
Really?
Yes. Like,
okay, I didn't think about that. That's so
because I just feel like most porn you watch is...
Give me your best American. Hey, baby, are you horny? Do you want to fuck?
Was that not like, hey, daddy? Hey, daddy gang?
Yeah, we're like getting so nasty. He's like, daddy gang. That's really interesting too. Did you find a lot of these women in the cam world were like friends, or was it kind of like, do my work, get out of there?
I think that's why I kind of got emotionally involved with that place, because they were like, it's like a bit of a sorority vibe. Like they was all like, and what was made me feel nice is that, and the thing which I think makes doing OnlyFans or camming from home really hard, if they got a call and some guy asked them like to do some terrible thing, you know, if people call up and ask like disturbing things, like, will you pretend to be like my sister or my mum and I'm gonna rape you, it's just horrendous. And they have to like mentally like process the fact that that is an actual human being out there in the world having these thoughts. They then have each other to lean on. They can be like, I just had this call, and they all can relate. Whereas, you know, other girls who are doing OnlyFans, and maybe their other girlfriends aren't doing OnlyFans, if they ring their friend who works like as a dental hygienist, I'm like, someone just asked me to stick a remote control up my ass, like, she's gonna be like, can't relate. Like,
yeah, like, at work, babe, at the desk.
Yeah, yeah,
gotta go into a meeting,
just, I can't help you. Whereas I think it's, for them, it's like being around other girls who are doing the same thing, and they can all relate to each other. And
that's amazing. And I think it's just cool to hear that, because I can imagine at times the OnlyFans world can be a bit isolating and lonely, because the perks of shooting at home, sure, are great, but then being alone, you're like, what the fuck?
And it's all about the numbers, and it can be quite competitive, I think. And
totally.
They're obsessing over,
totally. So you really immerse yourself in each of these episodes. Was there ever a specific moment where you felt uncomfortable?
Do you know what it is? What was hard for me is, like, I'm open and pretty liberal. Like, I, you know, this, it's hard because there's stuff that I would do if I wasn't, like, live from Love Island, because I was trying to always walk the line of like, I want to do this documentary, I want to be immersive, I want to get my hands dirty, but I also want people to like not get confused. I don't want this to become about me. So if I, you know, I was thinking on OnlyFans, I want to post something more sexy to like see how that, but then I'm thinking the only thing that will happen is then that photo of me will just get pulled out of there, putting British tabloids out of context, and then it's not going to become about what it's about.
Right.
So it was me trying to be really immersive without going to a point where people get distracted and they're just worried about what I'm doing. Oh my God, she's got a kit off. Or you know, I'm sure this, when the show comes out, you know, there's going to be, you know, I do the sex call and whatever, and people are going to, you know, I was an extra in a porno and all this shit. And I love that. But it's like, yeah, it was just trying to find the right...
Right. Wait, in the porno, do you get naked?
No.
Okay.
But see, I maybe would have like got... Yeah, I wouldn't have like...
Went topless or something.
But yeah, I don't
really
know.
Really can't for who I am now.
Like, yeah, because it would have then... People would have been like, oh, you know, she's just... Yeah, and again, it's almost like the whole thing, I'm doing this documentary and I'm wanting to like break down these walls of like stigma and the way we pigeonhole women, and then I'm there, it was like a head fuck, because I'm like, well, I can't go in my underwear too many times, and people be like, well, she's not really a presenter because she's constantly naked. So it's like, and I'm feeling the same sleep with myself. It's like a matrix.
Yeah, when I was watching episode one and with the OnlyFans, there were, when two of the girls were shooting, on the side, you made a comment and you're like, oh my God, I have this, like, I'm feeling like this maternal instinct towards these girls. Mm-hmm. Why did you feel that?
I think I know the scene you're talking about. It just, those two girls were so young, and they, you know, I don't want to sound patronizing. They probably like would think, oh, fuck off, we're fine. Like, mind your own business, grandma. Like, do you know what I mean? When I was their age, I would have been thinking, I'm literally making money. But I just think, I saw, especially more in one than the other, I was like, I just reminded me when I was her age, and I was so, like, ambitious and reckless. And she might be way more mature than I am, and she might do this for the next 10 years and smash it, and I hope that is the case. But you know when someone's a lot younger than you as a girl, yes, and I just looked at her, I just felt... she was talking, reading out some messages she'd had from guys that were like pretty hardcore, like really emotionless. And I just thought, I hope that you're okay. Yeah, like, I hope, do you know what I mean? I just, and that sounds really fucking patronizing, but that's me being really honest of how I felt in that moment. I'm not, you know.
I appreciate
that. And no
that.
Judgment. I just, it's like more of like a big sister feeling. I wanted to be like,
yes. I mean, I felt it while watching it, because I was like, oh my God, like, I just want to make sure, because there maybe aren't guidelines. When that one girl mentioned, like, this guy, like, sent me my address and said, I know where you live. I was like, when it comes to safety of these women, that's where I get really nervous. And I think that's something that's not talked about enough. Is like, sure, we can glamorize all of it that the media does, but like, this show is helping because you're hearing from their mouth, not other people that gossip, of like what their day-to-day is.
But like you say, it's like taking out the shadows. Like, if your friend wants to have a sugar daddy, fine, but she needs to feel like she can tell you and where she's going, rather than sulking off like into the darkness and not telling and putting themselves in danger
and being judged.
So if they feel like safe and it's accepted, they can tell their friend, hey, I'm gonna drop my pin, you can check that, you know, I'm safe, because it's like a murky world.
It is. Which of the four ways selling essentially your body on the internet seemed like the healthiest and safest option?
Oh God, that's really hard, because I feel like it's just down to the individual. Some people, you know, being a sugar baby just wouldn't work, whereas, you know, other people being on, I couldn't spend that much time on my phone. I hate how much time I spend on my phone as it is, like doing Instagram and stuff. Like, I could not be that logged into a website, you know? So I think it's person to person.
Yeah, that's interesting. Cause it's like, if you are a super outgoing person, maybe the sugar baby situation is more for your personality.
Yeah.
Whereas maybe if you're like more introverted or whatever, like maybe OnlyFans, or that could not be the case. Like, everyone's going to feel differently.
Like, if you want to be out and you want to travel and you want to be social, like being a sugar baby would be great, or, you know, vice versa. Right. I think,
Okay. So now we're like wrapping up, like, having this conversation. I really appreciate this series and what you're doing. To kind of conclude in this conversation, though, like, what advice would you give to women after experiencing and watching all of this that are interested in getting into either camming or OnlyFans or porn or sugar baby situation?
I think, as hard as it is, like, to block out the outside noise of like what other people think you should be doing. Because I always think, when people say, oh, is something bad, like, does it feel bad? If it makes you feel good, go for it. But think about it. Like, don't, like, just sleep on it a little bit. And also, going into any of those areas of work, as hard as it may be to stick to them, I think try and go in with like your boundaries. This is what I'm going to do. You know, I always think, you with OnlyFans, that one of the massive issues is like the content leaking. If something, which unfortunately at the moment the leaking is such a problem, whatever you post, 9 times out of 10 will be leaked. So if you would just die if that was out and your family and friends saw it, then maybe you don't post it.
Yeah.
If you can own it, then do it. I think it's just like, having your boundaries and what you can be happy with.
I love that, because I feel like even just the first episode, I was so interested in listening and really learning from it. And there's so many great things that I can't even imagine the rest of the series. Like, every single person listening, we have to go watch it when it comes out, because I feel like the boundary thing, you're right, that is it. It's like watching these girls starting on OnlyFans and the girls were like, I started posting this photo. But then when you're so right when you earlier said, like, when someone offers you so much money to just quickly take a picture of your tits and your phone is in front of you, you never have to, like, interact and see the man. It's like, it's a fake world almost in your mind. So you really have to keep in mind of, like, what did I come into this believing in for myself is right and how I'm going to be able to sleep at night feeling good.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you saying that. You're right. Like, 9 times out of 10, these photos will be on the internet. And if you are okay with that, thrive, bitch. Yeah. But just know that line, because I don't think enough people talk about that.
No.
You know what I mean?
And I think you're right. And I think it's, you know, it's not about glorifying it or condemning it. It's just being real. Like,
yeah, like, we're not here to judge. No. And we're not saying, like, everyone go sign up today.
It's like,
it's happening in the world. So we need to talk about it, especially because it's mostly women. But it's also like, let's just have an honest conversation about
it. It's like, I would say, you know, about reality TV, when people, it's so easy for people to condemn it. It's like, no one's got a gun to anyone's head, right? So if you go into it with your eyes open, so if you are willing to go, you know, onto a TV show and expose yourself to the world, or think about it, like, don't do you sleep on it and think of the pros and the cons, make a list. I mean, it's easy for me, so I'm really impulsive. I literally make all my decisions like that. But I mean, yeah, it'd be a nice idea to weigh everything up.
Totally. And I think, and then I have one last question, but I do think it was really cool because I was thinking about it when I was watching that first episode, and I was like, I feel like a really also good way for women before getting into it would be reaching out to some creators and being like, hey, I know you have no idea who I am.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of starting an OnlyFans. Do you have like 5 minutes of your time to just chat? Because your show...
I just forgot one area that really freaks me out.
What?
Is the referral thing. So other content creators, if they can get someone to sign up, they get like a bonus. So that was one area that I was a bit like, oh, like, so I think, yeah, if you can someone you trust, but I do think there's a bit of a like a thing where like girls are recruiting other girls.
It's like an ulterior motive.
Yeah. So that's the only thing, because they give that girl or boy, right, like, you know, this boy's like, you know, like a bonus if they get someone sign up. So I think, so you just have to be really savvy.
Okay, so definitely don't reach out to anyone. Never mind. Just literally watch Liv's new show. Because you're breaking it down and everyone has a different perspective. Last question.
Okay.
What was your biggest takeaway from creating this series?
I think I touched on it briefly. It's just the interesting that we live in this world where all the obsession is on the women creating the content, but no one's talking about the people buying it.
Right.
The reason OnlyFans is what it is because all the men in our society are the demand. Mm-hmm. So, and not there's anything wrong with that, but I just think it's interesting. We're never looking at the people asking for, you know, whatever it is. We're always looking at the people providing it and, you know, and shaming them and looking down on them. But we don't worry about the fact that it's probably Bob from next door. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the one asking for the feet video. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
I just think we've got a long way to go to move that, the sexism and the stigma. I think, you know, I hope shows like this will break down boundaries and, you know, it kind of humanizes these girls. I think it's very easy to dehumanize people that work in the sex industry. And I think the online sexual economy is even more dehumanizing because we just see them as like robots online. But these are real people with real lives, with families, with partners, whatever.
Yeah.
And they should be treated like that.
I think that this show truly is breaking down a barrier of like showing the behind the scenes, and exactly what you just said. We are, all of us are essentially dehumanized because of social media and the world we live in.
100%.
And this show is like, no, let's humanize these people. Let's go into their bedrooms. Let's see their lives. Let's see the cars they drive. Let's watch them through day to day. And I think it's amazing. Daddy Gang, you need to go watch. It is going to be amazing. I love you. I'm so honored you're here. This was so fun.
Ditto.
Thank you so much. Amazing.
Thank you for having me.
The amount of things that are said on Love Island
mm-hmm.
that, as someone from the United States, I had to Google furiously because I'm like, what is she saying? He's a melt. What does a melt mean? What is happening? What is going on? I'm Googling like a freak. And I just was obsessed. I started speaking in the accent. Then it was awful. Then I had to move on. But I need to go through some of these terms and ask you to explain them for me.
I hope I'm not down with the kids enough to actually get these. No, I might be sad.
Okay, you can start with what the fuck does a melt mean?
A melt, like it. So a drip, do you say that in the States?
No,
like,
with her.
Just like, normally if you say it about a guy, I go, it's got no backbone. They're just a drip, just like a wet rag.
Yeah. I feel like we would say like a pushover, like weak.
Yeah, or maybe it can be a guy or a girl, but a lot of times people say it about a boy. You know, when they start to like a girl and they go soft, they go, oh, he's a melt. Like,
Yeah.
It's that, you know, it's toxic soft masculinity thing of being like, if you're nice to a girl, you're a melt. That's what it is.
Okay,
like,
that makes sense. Okay, what about he pied me off?
Like ghosted, like just
okay. Done. But you guys say pied instead of ghosted.
Well, we say ghosted, but pied is like he ended it. He just broke up, yeah.
Got it. Okay, mugged off.
The similar thing. Like okay. Mugged off would be more just like, yeah, a guy just kind of tosses you to the side, like with not much explanation.
And if you were saying someone's attractive, you guys would say
he's fit. Yeah.
Love that.
And it has no like relation to their physical.
Like, what would you call someone if you're like, oh, he's fucked a lot of girls?
Shagger.
Okay, we would say, I guess, like, I tried to do the accent. It came out so bad. It's like a mix between, like, Australian and, like, British. It's awful. Okay, so we would probably say, like, he's a player or, like, a man whore.
Yeah, we say fuck boy, but okay. Not, yeah. We but say not, fuck, but, yeah, or she's a shagger, like.
Shagger. Okay, what
That's
about.
That's stunning, by the way. I want that so as my bad. Ring
it's so bad. Okay, cracking on. What does that mean?
Cracking on would normally mean like you meet a girl, you've exchanged number, you're going on a date, you're cracking on. You're just
We would say like vibing.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. What is grafting?
You know, I can't think of what the American term would be, but like working a girl, like you're DMing you, asking you out, he's putting the work, he's got the hard hat on, the boots, the shovel, like he is
in it. Yeah,
he's doing everything.
Like, do you see that as a negative kind of?
No. Like, they have to
like, he's
graft.
Putting in work.
Yeah, like, they need to graft, okay. Like, for sure.
Because I remember in the show, it was like, oh, he's really grafting, or he's grafting. He's grafting. Grafting.
Or in grafting, if you're in the North.
Grafting. We're grafting. Okay, that makes a lot of sense because it was so fun. I think that's also why I enjoyed, because I was, like, learning so much about the term.
Education.
Yeah, it was education mixed with a little psychotic behavior, and it made for great TV.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Want $0 delivery fees? Try Dash Pass by DoorDash. Daddy gang, I love being home. I love to be cozy, comfortable, laying on the couch. I can't tell you how many times I need something, but I am too lazy to get up and get out of the house. And sometimes I need food or groceries, you name it. Dash Pass gets it delivered right to my door and yours too. It is only $9.99 a month, so I think it's a really good deal, Daddy Gang. So get $0 delivery fees on eligible orders with Dash Pass, and new members get a 30-day free trial. Terms apply. Sign up today.